I am Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie.
And he's not wrong.
No. We're mostly confused, though.
Anyway, we're joined by Mr. Nils Larsen from NASA. You missed your cue on
I'm
that
sorry.
One.
I'm a little slow this morning.
Yeah.
It's the coffee that's
slower than
out
normal?
There. Yeah, really.
Okay. Anyway, Nils, how are you today, sir?
I'm good.
And I understand you were the pilot of the X-59. You got a lot of X planes all of a sudden.
Yeah, that's pretty cool, isn't it?
Yeah. What is the X-59 for us uninformed, unwashed masses?
All right. Well, the X-59 is in development right now. It's in the design phase. Actually, we have a design meeting next week on it. But
okay.
It is the X-59 Quest, and it is part of the low boom flight demonstration mission.
Oh, wow. So that's
what
I'm
supposed
to real
say.
Fast.
I think low boom. I think I got that right. Is that right, Shastra? Did I get it right? Okay.
That's the one, the artist's conception. It almost looks like an arrow.
Yeah, you know, it almost looks like those old lawn darts that we're not allowed to play with anymore.
Right, maybe he looked at a doorstop and said, hey, that's interesting.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
So when is that slated to fly? I mean, I thought you were fair ways off.
We still are, but it's closer than you think.
Okay.
2021 is when it's supposed to fly. I mean, we already have pieces, parts that we're getting in, because any good X plane is never really it's a clean sheet design, but it's made of other parts like F-16 landing gear.
Oh, right, right. Reusing, recycling.
Exactly, yeah.
You're very green.
We are.
Yeah. Now, here's a technical question for you. Apparently, it's very common, in fact, required by all home builders, that you sit in the fuselage at some point with a broom handle and make airplane noises. Have you done that yet?
Pretty close. We actually have some simulators, and they're still building up some of the sims. And I was actually in one last week before I came out here, and sure enough, I sat in there and started making air. I said, aren't I required to make airplane noises?
Right. You got to.
Yeah.
But yours, instead of a boom, it's a whoosh.
Yeah, that's pretty good. You know, we call it a sonic thump.
Thump. Okay.
Yeah, so it sounds kind of like distant rolling thunder.
Oh,
as opposed to that boom, boom, you know, that you normally would hear.
Right.
Yeah.
Interesting.
You know, the part that I find interesting is that you can get a simulator to fly the airplane, and the airplane isn't even built yet.
Yeah.
We got a lot of really smart, you know, people there.
I was going
to
say.
Smart video gamers. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and we had Take Your Kids to Work Day, and I brought one of my friend's daughters, you know, came over, and she got to go in the sims and all that. And when she was done, she's like, I know what I want to do. I want to be. I want to go into coding, and I want to do aviation sims.
Cool.
I was like, wow, that's kind of cool.
The problem was, she landed better than her dad.
She was doing pretty well. So
there you go.
Must have rubbed off a little bit, huh?
Yeah. Well, you never know. Yeah.
It's the first video game she's ever played that didn't say insert coin.
Yeah.
My son didn't like it because there was no gun on it, and he couldn't go upside down and all that. Yeah.
Oh, geez.
Oh, boy versus girl there, I guess. I don't know.
Well, it's a very, very interesting project, but there's got to be a lot of technical considerations. I mean, you know, first off, the translation from the simulator to the actual airplane. How do they know how that simulator is going to fly versus the actual aircraft?
Well, they got some pretty good guesses. I mean, initially what they'll do is they kind of go through all the models. They figure out where the masses are, how big the flight control surfaces are. And it is a fly-by-wire airplane, so they can kind of make it fly like they want to. One of the things, if you ever look at it, you know, it almost looks like the old stiletto, you know, that's out there, you know, because it's really long, 94 feet long and about 30 feet wide at the wings. So one of the things we have to worry about is, normally you could get a really good roll rate on that thing, but I don't want a really good roll rate because it'll do what we call roll coupling, and the next thing you know, that thing will be off to the races.
Right.
So they have to use the flight controls to limit how fast I can roll that thing. So, you know, they already know some of the tweaks that they have to do to make this thing fly like they want to make it fly.
Right.
So they start with their best guess, you know, and they kind of go back and forth. They'll make their best guess. You know, the designers will give them some more, you know, this thing's over here now, this thing moved over here. And they're constantly coming back and updating the model. So they're giving it their best guess. And over the years, things have gotten better and better and better. You know, to where, cripe, you can get a, you know, Microsoft simulator that actually flies, you know, pretty well.
Yeah.
So, generally speaking, they get pretty close and pretty right. So, you know, it's good training.
What I was going to ask is, how much of the wind tunnel data is used performance?
That's a great point. You know, they start with a computer model, then they go put it in the wind tunnel, and they, you know, see how it reacts in the wind tunnel. you know, and then they kind of feed that back into the model and then back into the sim. So they're always tweaking the flight controls. I mean, every time I turn around, they're like, hey, there's a new load, go over to sim, check it out.
So your flight regime is going to extend above Mach 1,
right,
but not necessarily up to Mach 2. You don't need that.
No, the design point of this airplane is Mach 1.42,
okay.
I think. Envelope-wise, we'll expand the envelope. We'll probably go out to 1.5, maybe even 1.6. I don't know whether we've decided how far out we'll go with it.
Right.
You know, you have V-dive tests that you got to go so much beyond and all that other kind of stuff. And you know, if you guys have designed your own airplane out there, and you know this is the AA, so yeah, there's guys out there
right.
who've done that.
But
so
not to Mach 1.42.
I don't
no.
think that, you know, unless you're Burt Rutan or
yeah.
you know, whatever, then you know, not a whole lot of that.
But, right.
And we'll be going up to 60,000 feet. Normally, the design altitude right now is about 55,000 feet.
Is the aircraft designed for ground landing? Ground launch, or will you be dropped?
No. Okay. Well, yeah, not back to those good old days. We will take off and land, you know, from the ground.
Okay. So you got to have a decent low-speed regime then, too.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and, you know, its design point is to be up there, 1.42 Mach, 54,000 feet. You know, so the, you know, it's almost like, oh, yeah, we got to get you up and down, too.
Right.
So
by the way.
That's probably our biggest concern. Takeoff and landing is takeoff maybe not too bad, but landing in this thing could be a little bit interesting.
Yeah.
And if you ever go look at the picture of that thing, stop by the NASA tent, if you know any guys out there. If you notice, there's no forward windscreen on that thing. So,
FPV cameras.
Yeah, it's exactly it. Yeah, yeah. We have Ultra HD camera, Ultra HD monitor, you know. Once again, we got a lot of really smart people at NASA that are working all that fun stuff. So, you know, we've already done some tests where it's been really interesting to where they can get it as good, if not better, than the Mark 1 eyeball that we got out there.
Wow.
So,
and then it's going to all be angle of attack.
Yeah, exactly. Coming in, and it's really funny because you look at it and you go, ooh, wow, this looks, you know, looks really sleek, you know, but it's probably going to fly like a truck,
yeah.
except a really fast truck.
Yeah.
But the other thing that you'll notice is, like I said, it's 94 feet long. The cockpit is halfway back.
Right.
So the weird thing, we're already looking and we go, you know what? Most of the mass is behind me. I think the center of rotation is going to be in front of me. So normally when you land, you know, you get that seat of the pants feel where, you know, you get a little increased G, a little positive. It feels like
right.
you're rising almost a little bit.
You're going to be reversed.
Exactly. So
yeah.
that's going to be a little fun to play with.
Yeah, that'll take some going, getting used to.
The other thing that's really weird is taxiing. The nose wheel is behind me. So if you think about it, the nose wheel's at least, 50 feet from the nose?
Oh.
So I got 50 feet of nose out there, and it's not real high at the end of the nose. So we have to worry about, airport signs. And
runway
and
lights.
Once again, yeah. I'm not really seeing out the front. So
right.
we'll have a camera on the bottom so I can kind of sort of see that yellow line, you know, and not that I follow it that much anyway. But, you
it's
know.
It's a suggestion, not
yeah,
a requirement.
Exactly, yeah. So it's one of those things where we'll have ground crew, we'll have cameras, we'll have to do airfield surveys that we may have to go, yeah, here's the taxi route, or we're just going to have to start here and go from here.
Follow the car.
Yeah, exactly. So there's all kinds of little things on this airplane because it's a point-designed airplane. I mean, this is not meant to be a prototype for a supersonic airliner.
Right.
The big thing that we're building this for is, if you think about it right now, the rules are based on speed. You know, right now the FAA says, thou shalt not go faster than the speed of sound unless you're the government or give you special permission. So what we want to do instead of being speed-based, we want to make it noise-based. You know,
right.
if we can produce a noise that is not displeasing to the public, then let's base it on this instead of just
yeah.
don't go faster than this.
Well,
yep.
it's not only the displeasing sound, but the fact that a sonic boom in the right place, right time, can literally blow the windows out of your house. Which,
well, that's true, but
that
generally
would be a low altitude boom.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, somebody's been studying.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Thank you, MythBusters.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. Your landing speed on this thing's got to be like 200 knots or some crazy thing like that.
Right now, when we're coming in, you know, lower fuel, it's about 170
wow.
knots.
So you, obviously,
so
parachute
miles an hour,
required.
Yeah. Actually not. We got to have a 10,000 foot runway.
Oh, my goodness.
You were asking about the sim. This is some of the sim studies that we'll do is looking at what do we think the landing speeds are? How reliably can I put that thing down? And then, you know, we do all the studies for, you know, braking action, that kind of stuff. So do I really need a chute or a tail hook or a, you know, whatever, you know, what do we think we can get this thing stopped in? You know, originally we wanted to do 8,000 foot runways and then went, let's go with 10.
Yeah. How about a door where you can put your feet out and drag them?
Yeah, a little Flintstone style, yeah.
I was going to say, there are not many places you can go with a 10,000 that have 10,000 feet runways. My guess is you guys are going to start testing this thing out at Edwards.
Edwards.
We'll start out at Edwards, and right now we have a three-phase approach, and the first phase is the whole envelope expansion, you know, with NASA test pilots, Jim Less, myself, and then the Lockheed test pilots on it is Dan Dog Kanan. And then we'll do the envelope expansion, then they'll throw it over to us, and then we're going to go figure out what that boom and what that shock wave off the airplane is really doing. And what that sonic thump is like, then we're going to take it on the road show.
Oh, cool.
And this is where we're going to go around the country, and we're going to go to a community near you, and we're going to get the public to give us the feedback of, you know, hey, what did you think of that sound? Did you even hear it?
Right.
You know, kind of thing. So that's a whole nother thing that a lot of the guys over there at Langley in Virginia, those are the guys in charge of trying to figure that one out. And honestly, I think it's easier to design the airport than it is to figure out that study.
Yeah. Well, definitely. I want to thank you for joining us, Nils. It's very, very interesting. We could talk for another, you know, day.
That's fun. Yeah.
Pretty much.
Let's do it again sometime.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. And they're over at the NASA Pavilion, so make sure you get there. This is Digital Dave.
I'm Fast Eddie.
And this is EAA Radio.